This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Happy Soccer New Year to you. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season, all the holidays you were celebrating, and I hope you have at least a good start to your 2024. Beamer, you have, it's been a couple weeks since we chatted. Yeah. How were things, and do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I don't have a New Year's resolution, not quite yet. I haven't got there. Too much else on the plate. But no, it was good, man. Things were good. First holiday, first Christmas for William, so that was fun. So we usually go to Studio 35 on Friday nights, and we usually go, Meredith and I and William go and grab a couple of beers.
William usually takes what, two of them?
Let me rephrase that.
He takes a couple
Meredith and I grab a couple of beers. William has a shot and a beer. so we were doing that, and it was Christmas on a Monday this year, right? So it was Christmas Eve, and we were going to go over there, and he woke up from his afternoon nap, man. He was smoking hot. Like, he was like 104 degrees on the temperature reader. This is a couple of days before Christmas. We're getting ready to head down to Dayton to do like all the festivities with family. So this is the day before we're going to do that. And so we felt bad, and we're like, nope, can't go to studio tonight. Like, we're going to have to hold off. Maybe we'll go next week or, you know, in a couple of weeks. And so wake up the next morning, he's like 101. So it's come down significantly, but you could tell like he was feeling a lot better. Like all he was doing was like whimpering. Like for that Friday night, like he wasn't even like really moving. So like we were scared, you know, like this
is it's a tough deal.
A little bit terrifying. So did that. Then we went down to Dayton. And by the time that Christmas Eve rolled around and then Christmas Day, he was like fine. Like he's good and he's ready to play. Okay. Now, the bad part about that is that he's a little petri dish. And so then mom and dad got then the boomerang effect.
Oh, no.
And so then Meredith and I were knocked down and we had the bah humbug that was going around to everybody. What seemed to be this holiday season. So it took us a couple of weeks, like after Christmas, to like reset and just kind of relax and get back into things. But no, we're good now, man. Everything was good. It was crazy. We had a whole four Christmases situation. It's like, we got to go see my dad, then my stepdad, then my mom, and then Meredith's family. Like, we were all over the place and we didn't feel great. It was good. William got to experience that. Like, he felt better, but her and I at the end, like when we got home after Christmas, we're just like,
Just
try to get back into a routine.
I'll tell you, that's an underrated aspect of being a parent when you're not, like, we've now kind of realized this and it's worked itself out. But yeah, when you get that first year or two where the kids, or when they go to school, you'll feel probably sadly have this again when he goes off to like a daycare or school for the first time with like a million other kids. It's like everyone just passes the sickness around. But when you're the parents and you're both sick and then he's like, yeah,
ready to go.
What's up, mom and dad? And you're like, where's the relief? Who comes in? Can we get a relief pitcher in here for a few hours just to take over? Like, it just sucks when you're the two parents, you're both sick and someone's got to pick the kid up and feed him or change him or whatever. And you just both look at each other like, I don't want to do this today. It sucks. It's a tough part of being a
parent. Where's my PTO at?
Yeah, right? When do I get my vacation on this deal? And you don't usually. That's the tough part.
But no, man, everything is good. And in that time that we have been off, he has learned to crawl. So he's on the move. He's putting everything in his mouth.
Yes, like he is on. That's right.
There was a situation the other day where Theo was outside. And again, big 95-pound dog. He was chasing something in the backyard. It was raining. It was muddy. So I'm like yelling at him. William is on the ground. Theo's outside. I'm hanging out the door, like yelling at Theo to stop doing that because our backyard's a total mess. So he's all caked in mud. Yelling at him. In the meantime, William's crawling all over the place, and I'm trying to keep an eye on him. Yelling again at Theo, trying to get him inside because he knows that he may be in trouble, so he doesn't want to come inside anymore. And then I look back over my shoulder, and William has gotten into Theo's water bowl.
Oh,
water's
fun.
All over the place.
Oh, fine.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then I do what I do when I get stressed out. I just shut down.
Yep. It's just, like, all right, well, I guess we're just here.
Yep. And then I just went and picked William up, and I'm like, Theo, just stay outside if you want. I'm like, You just stay out there.
Just stay out there forever, dog.
I needed a five minute breather.
Yeah, I get it. I totally understand. I've been there. I've done that. I've understand. You know what? That's the right way to handle it. Sometimes just got to go, okay, kid's got water all over him. I'm just going to embrace that. Yep. You know what? I'm going to sit down and dump the water on my head.
Yep.
I'm just going to pick it. You know, I'm going to eat the dog food too while I'm there. I'm just going to just be a dog for a few minutes.
I'm going to put an electrical cord in my mouth too, because that's what William is really after, is electrical cords.
Oh, they love them. The kids at that age, that's all that. These kids these days putting electrical cords in their mouth, that's every kid every decade has been doing
that. And then since we've gotten on the crawling, he is now standing in his crib and now wanting to stand.
Oh,
and so we're
in the
tumbling phase.
Yeah.
So we went from crawling to now standing on everything into the tumbling phase. So a lot has happened in the last 3 weeks since we have not been together.
Man, that is it. Life comes at you fast at this age, where suddenly it's like he wasn't crawling at all Monday, and then Wednesday it's like he is a Olympic crawler. Like he's just they pick it up so quick. I say this is what we did. You picked it up. You were probably a great crawler back in the day.
I'm sure I was. The goat crawls better than he was, I'll tell you that much. What'd you do at my age? How was your Christmas? How was your holiday?
You know what? It was really good. So we had a good time with family, all that stuff. The best part, other than the family stuff for me with Christmas, was I cleared out like well in advance, calendar wise. I said, listen, listen, Melissa, here's what I am hoping for. Mm-hmm. I would like, we can do everything else you want. We can go traveling around, go to see whoever we need to see, all that stuff. I would like a day on December 26th to go out and watch some soccer and just be out. Like, I'm not saying, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but got to go out. So she's like, get it, Boxing Day, you love soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Totally understood. So that was my day. So I actually didn't go out a ton, but the Aston Villa supporters group in town, who they do an awesome job. And Connor McBride, who runs that group, is awesome. I'm trying to pull up their Twitter while I'm talking, because I should have, stupidly should have pulled this up ahead of time. But they, you can find them online if I can remember what I don't know why I can't find it now. I'll find it in a second. I'm sorry, guys. Anyway, the point is the Aston Villa supporters group in Columbus is awesome. And they had a group of about 30 people.
Good for them.
Out at Fado.
Nice.
Now, Fado at Easton is not where they typically go. They usually go up to High Banks Brewing up there.
Yeah, Olentangy River Brewing Company.
They make the High Banks ale, which I really like. But yes, Olentangy River Brewing Company. Also, Roosevelt Coffee is in that same space.
It's an awesome place.
It is. I love going up there when I've been able to, but I didn't know that that's where they usually meet. Yeah. Then I saw them tweeting about it and was like, oh, sweet, maybe I'll be going over there to check that out. Then I saw on that day, they said, actually, hang on, we're going to Fado that day.
Nice.
So went over there, and that Connor used to work there at that Fado, so he knows a lot of people. And it was awesome, man, because on Boxing Day, it was Aston Villa, Manchester United, which I'm sure, Beam, you very much want to talk about the result of that game.
Yeah, we don't have to if you don't want. I know it's a sore subject for you.
It is. But you know what? It's the it was truly a great time to, like, go hang out with a group of soccer fans and get to, like, just – I didn't want to be a poser by any means, but I had, earlier this year, if you listen to the show, one of our listeners sent me an Aston Villa jersey. Mikey, who lives in Toronto, sent me an Aston Villa jersey and said, I want you to become a Villa fan.
I want you to break the curse with our team.
Yeah. And so I am, So I'm in on it this year. I've got my John McGinn jersey that he sent me. I've been wearing that thing like crazy. And it was just great to go and just learn about the club history. And I got so many people that would come up and, what do you want to know? What do you want to talk? Yeah, we had this guy, This is what we did in the 80s and the 90s. And there were, I'm not kidding you, Beam, there were probably at least a dozen people that they didn't like just start rooting for Aston Villa. They've rooted for Aston Villa for 20 years or more that were there. And some of them have ties to England, but many of them didn't. They're just like, no, I just picked this club because I liked them. Some people, picked up on that with, when the Lerner family, was involved and all that stuff. But like, it was a really cool thing. Their Twitter handle, if you want to follow them, is AVFC_Columbus.
Okay. Nice.
So go support them. AVFC_Columbus. And yeah, it's a fantastic group. Can't say enough about that, but The environment at Fadeau over at Easton, I also have to say, I have been going to watch soccer games there for the better part of 20 years. And every time I walk in there, it's like the exact same thing. Like, it's exactly what I want. The food is great. Yeah. The beverages are always on point. The staff there, they have tons of different people that work there. It's not the same people, but they're great. You can have 200 soccer fans screaming and chanting, and they will get everyone's ticket right. They will get everybody's tab open and closed and just do it with a smile. And I can't speak highly enough about that. I know most soccer fans know Fadeau at Columbus, mm-hmm. but I feel like sometimes that Easton Fadeau is like, oh, yeah, it's over at Easton. Whatever. Maybe it's a little – you don't want to deal with the traffic over there or whatever, but it's worth it, man. Every time I go over there, I have a great experience. So no complaints about my holiday
I'm
weekend.
Glad you had a great time over there. They are nice people, the villains, the Columbus yeah. villains. They came down when the United Group were at Zaftig last
yeah.
year before
yeah,
the
right.
Italian Village place closed, and then we went over to City Tavern. They came down to watch a game, and they're – yeah, terrific.
Yeah.
Super, super nice.
Yeah. So that was I'll tell you, that was a very nice thing to have. Like, just I love seeing that this is not a group that just popped up this year or the last couple years because mm-hmm. they've been good. You know, this is a group that's clearly
you just popped in because they came
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's right.
But...
well, I popped in because someone gave me a jersey.
Yeah, sure you did.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we can talk about that Manchester United game if you want. I know it was a few weeks ago, but
I had an awful time in the first half.
I had a tremendous time in the first half.
You were texting like, hey, sorry, I'm not gonna go to City Tavern, I'm gonna
yeah,
go to Fadeau.
Yeah,
I'm like
yeah.
I'm sick anyways, like
yeah.
I had caught again going back to the whole Christmas thing. It was the first day we got back home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I'm not leaving my house.
I'm
not leaving my house today. Like,
yeah.
You know, I wish I could have gone down to City Tavern and hung out with the Red Devils down there, but I'm like, I'm not in any capable form to go out today and do this. And you and I are texting in the first half and like, it's illegal. Your players can't do that to Andre Onana, because he got right by him and the free kick came in and he obviously got into an onside position and it was just a total onslaught.
Oh yeah, man.
Villa onslaught.
I thought Villa was going to go up like 3-4-0 and just roll.
And then the second
half
came around and United apparently turned into Manchester United of old and just became some sort of like fire breathing dragon.
We don't talk about Bruno. Not he came to life.
He
man.
Is he the most hated player in the world?
Oh my God! It was all the discussion the entire time at Fadeau was like, is there anyone with a more punchable face than him?
Nah, no, there's not.
There's not. But you know what? It doesn't matter. But he's
my guy.
Very good. Well, yeah, man. He's one of those guys. If he's on your team, Bruno Fernandes, he's on your team. You love him. If he's not, you hate him. Don't ever want to talk about him. Not your guy. So,
I'm just glad that you had a good time.
You know what? I did, and it was actually as much as I wanted to see them win. Aston Villa is still right at the top of the table.
Yeah,
they're having a tremendous season.
Right behind Liverpool.
Yeah. And, you know, Manchester United really needed those points so they could try to stay relevant this year. So it's okay.
It's all right.
They're awful. They're terrible this year. I was hanging down the other day. I was New Year's Eve. We went down and celebrated British New Year's. So, you know, William's not staying up till midnight.
Oh,
so we get
gotcha.
Home.
That's
and
a great idea.
At 7 o'clock, we turn on a YouTube live stream of the London Bridge. And I think the Times had like a live stream on. And I was talking to one of my buddies who's a bartender down there, Lucas, who has decided that he's going to turn that into the Brighton Bar. So if you're a Brighton fan,
where is
Parsons
this
North Brewing?
Oh, Parsons North is going to be
yeah.
a Brighton Bar.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
They already are a Brighton Bar.
Great. Awesome.
So if you're a Brighton fan or if you just want to watch some soccer, like they've got it on down there too. And I was talking to Lucas. He's like, you're a United guy, right? I'm like, yep, sure I am. Because they had just come off with a big victory against Tottenham where they beat them 4-2. And I was congratulating him. And he's like, yep, we're not going to get relegated. It's a good year. Like, we're feeling pretty good about the situation. He's looking at me. He's like, you're a United fan, right? I'm like, yep, sure I am. He's like, boy, I feel sorry for you. I'm like, that's just
yeah.
the way
right.
it is.
I know. Yeah. It's
they're awful.
Everyone's got something to say. And they should. But we'll get into more United stuff here in a second. We will talk some crew stuff as well, some MLS news, and I think I found the Leicester of this year, the Leicester of 2024.
England?
No.
Okay.
In Europe, though. We'll get there in a moment. But let's talk about your guy at Manchester United, Jadon Sancho.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he decided to – what's the rule you like to say about Twitter? Never tweet?
Never tweet.
Never post?
Yeah, never post.
Well, he did that. And he posted.
I continue to post. I don't know why I do.
Same.
I
know. I've also like I've had a bunch of. I've actually hopped onto the Bright Sky. Is that what it's Blue Sky?
I don't know.
It's one of the.
I never got a code.
I got a code, and so I went over there, and I forget that I have it, but I'm on there. If you, it's a degenerate T-bone, I believe, is what I am on there. So go find me on there if you want to. But anyway, like, he, ever since he sent those posts out with Eric Ten Hag, where
he's just been training. He's been training with the academy. He's not even allowed to train with the senior
incredible
team.
Incredible, man. And this is a guy who was one of England's, you know, brightest young stars before this season, and obviously still could be that. But if you're not getting minutes, they're not. You're not going to. Like, it doesn't. It's
future national team, like England national team, like starter.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, game breaker.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not just like starter, but like, that's what they expect of him.
On track to be one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, that's what everyone has thought with this dude, and nothing was telling us anything otherwise until this year. And now he's going to – it's so bizarre to me because, you know, he played for Borussia Dortmund. Mm-hmm. Now Borussia Dortmund is going to take him back on a loan.
Official today on Soccer Podcast Day. They did it early in the morning.
It's official. He's going. So
back until the summer. I think it's a short-term loan. Like, he will be back at United this summer.
Will Eric Ten Hag? That's it's almost like they sent him away to, like, let's figure out the Ten Hag situation, and then if he's gone, then maybe we'll bring you back. If he's not, then maybe we, you know, sell on with Jadon Sancho. Or maybe, I mean, maybe he goes back to Dortmund and, like, lights on fire.
Right. And he then, just needs a change of scenery.
Like. Yeah. Well, I think he definitely needs to. Him and Ten Hag, not on the same page.
Right.
So you got to find some other way to unlock this player. And Manchester United, as much as, you know, they may believe in him, or some in the front office may believe in him, technical staff, they've got to find a way to maximize the value for a player that, didn't they pay like £70 million for him or
like
something?
Close to, 75 or 73. Okay. And he's still 23 years old. Like, he's still young.
Well, of course, I'm not giving up on this dude at all. I'm saying I think the move to Dortmund could be very good for him, but it also, I know this is not saying anything. It's like, could be good, could be bad. But the downside is you go to Dortmund, and if you don't immediately, like, dominate,
find yourself again,
then it's like, oh, I'm just, you know, does he then get into, like, well, this place sucks too, and so does Manchester United, and you know what?
You become that
and
kind
then,
of a player.
And then the next place you go, you're there for a month, and you're like, you know what? This guy, this coach is dumb too. And suddenly it's like, oh, no, he's this guy who just never, everywhere he goes, he's a problem, and he becomes toxic, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I hope not for him, but actually, I don't care. I don't know him any. I don't know him from Adam. So it's good, bad. It's just interesting to watch. It's interesting to watch. If he flames out, that'll be quite a story. But I don't think he will. I think he's still got a lot of soccer left to play, for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, he tweeted in September, "I will not allow people saying things that is completely untrue. I've conducted myself very well in training this week. I've been a scapegoat for a long time, which isn't fair. Since then, has not played in a game."
Yep, that was back in September. Then September 14th, it was confirmed he would be away from training from the first team group pending the resolution of the matter. This is the resolution of the matter.
This is
now.
It. Get out.
I mean, think about that, man. September 14th.
That's a long time ago.
That was like the first NFL game of the season, and we're almost to the – I mean, like, that's a ridiculous –
That's the very beginning of the Premier League season. We're halfway through now.
Yeah, that was like the first – less than the first – a month of the season had gone. Yeah. Everybody had played three or four games. And now we're at the halfway point, right? I mean, that's half a year gone for this dude who was expected to be one of the brightest players in Europe.
Like, the guy, yeah.
Not playing. So, yeah, big, big letdown there for Manchester United. And we'll see what happens as he goes to Borussia Dortmund.
I just don't think that United can get rid of Ten Hag. Like, I don't want to go through it again.
I get that.
I don't want to go through the spin cycle. And you've seen Mikel Arteta at Arsenal and what he did and given a leash. And you saw Jurgen Klopp in his first few years giving him a leash. And, like, there are bright spots with United. And this year there are far too many not bright spots with the way and inconsistencies they've been playing. But I don't want to go through it again. I don't want to go through a coaching change again.
Yeah. By the way, the team he's going to in Germany, obviously we know Borussia Dortmund is a good team and has been a good team for many years. They are sitting fifth right now in the Bundesliga, which that happens, right? We'll talk about Spain in a minute too, because you've got some teams sitting in weird spots there too. But I mean, it's go time for them. The second half of their season, it's not like you just put Jadon Sancho in and he just comes in and is playing for a top flight team and he can just find himself while that team continues to just, you know, take all the points off of everybody and win the whole thing. Like, Bayer Leverkusen is 15 points ahead of them.
15 points ahead of them. I mean, they're only 3 points away from being in ninth.
That's how
tight the middle
of
the Bundesliga is.
Where they are in that table. Like, it's going to be tough. So Borussia Dortmund by no means has it easy, and this is not something that you can just immediately say Jadon Sancho goes in and it's fine. So issues for some of the bigger, brighter clubs that we've seen in Europe over the years, of course, Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund.
And they're in the Champions League round of 16.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, there's that, too. You have to manage that while also trying to manage winning the league or winning the league. Just making it to the top, like top two, top three is where you should be if you're Dortmund every year. You should hope to win the league every few years. Obviously, dealing with Bayern Munich and now, of course, I guess Bayer Leverkusen coming in, reestablishing themselves. That's great. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that clearly has to make Champions League again next year. So that's priority number one. And then it's eventually let's try to get back into this race if we can. But speaking of Borussia Dortmund, you brought this to my attention.
I did.
Someone in the black and gold in Columbus is drawing some interest from the black and gold in Germany.
So I saw this on Twitter the other day, and I don't know how you feel about this. It makes me excited and it makes me nervous at the same time. So before we got off and we were talking about the Champions League, and again, Dortmund's Champions League round of 16 matchup is with PSV Eindhoven. And when I think of those two teams, I think of they're selling clubs, right? I mean, they obviously have their domestic success and they have their success on the Champions League, but it's at far greater of a reduced scale, I would say. We all know what PSV is and we know what Dortmund are, right? They are teams that will go out and they will identify really good young players. They will bring them to their academy. They will play terrifically from the ages of 18 to 24, 25, and then they will sell them for a massive fees and they will go elsewhere. I look at Jadon Sancho, perfect example. We were just talking about
exactly
him, right?
Yeah.
He goes over from England. They identify him as a young player. He goes over there, signs for less of a deal, and goes over there and earns his stripes, then comes back to the Premier League. Erling Haaland, same way. That's the kind of club that they are. And so I saw this on Twitter the other day that crew player Francisco Mendoza is being scouted by Borussia Dortmund and Stuttgart of the Bundesliga. He's only 14 years old and joined the crew U15 team earlier this year. And on one hand, I'm excited. That's awesome. If you've got Dortmund snooping around the crew academy, that's a pretty amazing thing and a great spot to be in. On the other hand, I'm like, get away. Get away, man. These are our guys, because I know exactly what you do, and the chances that you sign somebody and you turn this kid into a superstar are higher than any other team on the planet.
Yeah. No, you're right, man. So I was trying to track this kid's progress, how he kind of came here. He apparently played for Albion SC Merced, which Merced is Merced Soccer Academy is in Merced, California.
It's outside of San Francisco, isn't it?
Yeah. So he started off apparently there, and that's when the crew went and said, we have identified this talent. We found this kid. We're signing him. So you're talking about they found a guy from California, brought him into the academy system. The crew scouting department, guys, I know everybody should know this. We think about scouting. You think about hey, they got Cucho, right? They've done their work. They know they're bringing in guys like Steven Moreira. They're getting some really good players that we clearly saw win MLS Cup. If you think it doesn't go beyond that and it's just, they're able to get some guys from crew too. They've done their homework all up and down. And the fact that you've got this dude already now getting interest, the fact he's part of your academy, that's helping get his development, of course, but eyes are on this kid. So I just like the fact that the crew are identifying talent at a level that gets Borussia Dortmund to go,
who is this kid?
We want to see him. Hang on. That tells you you're on the right path with your, academy and what you're doing. So it's not just for every guy like that, that maybe does get poached from a big European club. There are going to be two dozen guys that end up being able to go on and stay with your academy who one or two of those will be to crew two.
Yep.
Maybe one or two of those guys end up being your next Mo Farsi guy who can, come up
Patrick
through the
Schulte.
Ranks, Patrick Schulte, and those guys can come up through the ranks and eventually impact the big club.
Aiden Morris.
Oh yeah. Right. Speaking of Mo Farsi, did you see where he was this week?
I did.
He was
in Dubai.
Yeah. Cause apparently he's got some interest from a club there.
And in France,
Le Géant. Is interested in Mo Farsi. Now, not to, this is MLS, right? This is how it works. There are guys making $10 million playing in MLS, and then there are guys making $75,000, which is Mo Farsi.
There are other guys who get Apple stock and dividends on their deals.
There's one guy. Who's that guy? Who's that one guy that's getting that deal?
Jonathan Mensah.
That's right. hey, keep your eyes open. He's a free agent. Never know. Saw that Caleb Porter's in New England now. Caleb Porter, you know, Jonathan
congratulations Mensah. To New England for winning a championship in the next 3 years. And congratulations to firing them by 2027.
That's exactly right. You know what? If Porter takes them, I mean, they were a good team last year till they had all their Bruce Arena drama. Jeez, yeah. So he's got a good squad.
Well,
he can come
shield,
in.
And, not this past year, but the year before that.
Caleb Porter shield is what they're bringing in now. It's so stupid. No, but Mo Farsi is getting those looks because he is a talented player. My hope is, and I know some people are not as big of fans of Mo Farsi. Obviously, it's much easier now to kind of revise history because they won MLS Cup. The Mo Farsi experience is, yes, he's going to occasionally turn the ball over. He is one of the best on-the-ball players you have and is a ridiculously good defender. Like, I don't think you can triple his salary and it's not enough for me to keep him here. Like, I mean, that wouldn't be too much for me to say, oh, no, you got to get rid of him. Like, whatever he wants, south of $1 million, like, I pay him. Like, yes.
Well, now Julian Gressel leaving, too. Like, that's...
You got it. Yes, you have to keep him. And good for him, man. Dude, making $75,000 is not a bad living to play soccer, but when you're a professional athlete, you probably have a dream to do that, and you find out you're making $75,000. I'm just saying, if a team from Dubai is like, we'll fly you over here, you want to come check out the place? You'd be like, is that a free trip to Dubai you're offering me?
Yes, I will.
I make $75,000. That's a little out of my pay range, I would think, to just go on a nice trip to Dubai. So, hey, you get that. You probably get to go to France as well and take a nice little trip there. And then you tell both those clubs to F off and you sign with the crew. That's the way
Thank
I hope
you for
it
the
goes.
Vacations.
Thank you for the vacations. But explore. Go and enjoy. And I hope that, you know what? If the crew are going to screw around with him, then he should go do what he needs to do. But I hope the crew will do the right thing there. I don't think you see that he's pretty valuable.
I said him and his agent were looking for a new contract with the crew. So
of course they are. He made $75,000 this year. He's then helped them.
Rightfully so.
Key cog to an MLS Cup title team. Yes. Like, then you need to get that guy paid 100%. We will talk some more MLS. We'll take a break. When we come back, though, we are going to talk about the Leicester of 2024. I'll tell you about that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. My New Year's resolution for this year is to be better about being on that Twitter feed, even though we just said some people aren't on Twitter anymore. X, whatever. I'm going to try
Follow
to be better
at
about
Bone Beam United on
Blue Sky. I don't know. Should we get an Instagram?
We can.
Maybe we should. I don't know.
What will we post on there?
Good question.
We just got to get one to get one.
I don't know. Well, like, that's where people are. I don't know. That's always the struggle in our business is like, what will we post there? Because we're an audio medium. So then it's like, we need photos of us, but we don't want to take photos of us.
Yeah.
I guess we just have to take pictures of soccer balls and microphones.
Stuff. Random
stuff in the
objects.
Office. And then we can put under it, like, here's our podcast. And then you go listen. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Sound like I'm a million years old talking about Instagram. I use it all the
time. I don't know how internet works.
I don't know how. Please direct me to your internet so I can use it.
Put it on the line.
All right. So here is my pick for your Leicester of 2023.
Okay.
That is Girona. However you want to say it. My Girona. Love it. They kept it rolling. They beat Real Madrid. Didn't do that this time. Maybe someday soon. They beat Atletico Madrid 4-3. So this is a team for Girona who has now, they are tied with Real Madrid at the top of the table.
That's amazing.
They took Barcelona to task less than a month ago, 4-2. They have been up at the top of the league the entire way. Yeah, the entire way. They have been just a revelation this year. A team that's usually...
They have one loss.
Yeah, man. They have been unbelievable in La Liga.
Their one loss was to Real Madrid at the end of September. They have not lost a game since the Real Madrid loss at the end of September.
Yeah.
And they just beat Barcelona, and they just beat Atletico Madrid.
Yeah. I mean, they are playing unreal soccer right now. And it's one of these things that we don't see that often. I love the fact that you have a team that clearly is not going to have the budget that Real Madrid is. Real Madrid's probably going to win La Liga. But that's what we said with Leicester, right? Where we're like,
they'll fall apart at some point.
Leicester's got to give this up at some point. And to be fair, Leicester did have, if I'm not mistaken, I know it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like ancient history. It was pre-pandemic. But didn't Leicester have like a pretty decent cushion? They weren't neck and neck, I want to say, with like Manchester City or Chelsea or somebody like that. They were up by like 5 or 8 points or 6 points for a good chunk of this like January, February timeframe, I want to say. And then at some point it became like, well, if they don't ever lose or if they just keep getting results, how are these other teams going to catch them? Because they had a cushion. There is not a cushion in this one. I mean, you're tied with Real Madrid.
Tracking Real Madrid down.
By the way, Real Madrid, who is likely, by the time you hear this, maybe it'll be done. If they don't sign Kylian Mbappe this window, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't do it this time, they've been trying for 2.5 years to
sign.
You
mean this summer? It's not going to happen in January.
It's going to happen. Dude, everything I've been reading and hearing is like, it's now or never.
Whoa.
Get it done. Because Real Madrid is basically at a point where they've said, we are sick and tired of being told no.
No.
We are sick and tired of you saying you want to come here and then you don't. Either if you want it, then let's make it happen. From what I was reading and everybody's saying, if it's not done by like middle of January, forget it. They'll pull it back and say, we're never signing you. Sorry, we don't care.
Come to Manchester.
Well, yeah,
go to United.
But everything is, I want to go to Real Madrid. It's my dream team. I want to play there. It's the right. And then they're like, great, here's the offer sheet. And he's like, suddenly I can't. And so it's like, get it. So the thought is with Real Madrid, they may bring him in. They have apparently a lot of Real Madrid fans have been asking for them to sign a defender because they have some injuries. Mm-hmm. They have some not.
Tchouaméni's been playing defender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the things I can stop here for a second. Just talk about being the manager of Real Madrid as Carlo Ancelotti is.
Just thanked in a contract extension as well.
Yes, he did.
Big Carlo.
Legendary.
My guy, I love
legendary.
Him. He's
legendary
awesome.
Manager. But the thing about managing a team like Real Madrid, people will say like, oh, well, they get all the best players and Manchester City and some of these teams, right? They do. There's no denying that. Here's the difficulty. Like you just said, you bring in Kylian Mbappe, if you sign him, where's he at his best? On the left.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do they have?
Vinny.
Where's he at his best?
On the left.
So what do you do? Do you have those guys like, you platoon
like folding?
Them?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You have to figure out a way to get one of those two guys to accept Jude a
Bellingham
role.
Pretty good on the left, like too.
Yes, you've got all these guys who are really good on the left. Someone's going to have to move somewhere to play in this system if you do get him. So my point is that's what they're doing with defense right now with Tchouaméni, because it's like that's not where he typically wants to play,
right?
But we have to use him there.
We got Valverde and Modric and Bellingham and Kroos, all these dudes in the midfield.
Yeah, there's not room for everybody.
Get your ass back on defense.
Right. So it's like
that's what they did with Camavinga too. Like
I'm saying, man, that's the part of that little thing where Real Madrid is this legendary club, but they don't do it by going out and signing like three studs and then a bunch of also rans. They sign 20 studs and then somehow get all the studs to go, yeah, it's fine. You want me to play goalkeeper today? I guess. Give me the gloves. Like they'll just do whatever. And I'm not saying that makes it easy. That somehow makes it so difficult that it's unbearable. Most managers would love to have that problem, right? Most players would love to be asked, oh, I have to move over because you got the best guy ever to play at this position next to me. I guess I'll switch over to the other side if I have to. But that is still a thing that I think Real Madrid has to deal with. And that's why I think it's impressive what they've done over the years and other clubs like them that get all that talent, but still find a way to make them come together. And Ancelotti's great at it. Not everybody is.
Not everybody. So, yeah, we've seen cases and examples where it's blown up in their face.
Yeah.
Jose was great at it. Zinedine Zidane, obviously.
Zidane was great at it.
Carlo Ancelotti in the last few years, really good at it. But there have been guys who just they can't handle the amount of star power and, quite frankly, the amount of ego I'm sure that's in that locker room.
And then on the other side of this coin, we have plucky Girona.
Yes.
Just sitting right there with the same damn number of points and what, like 4 or 5 goal differential, I think.
They beat Atletico 4-3.
No way.
Bone, I looked this up because you said, oh, you see Girona, they beat your guys. They beat Atletico
4-3. Because you love Atletico Madrid. We all know that.
And then my first observation of that wasn't congratulations to Girona for the win. My first observation was, when was the last time that Atletico gave up 4 goals in a game? Because Diego Simeone doesn't do that.
No.
Black magic. He's a witch. They don't give up 4 goals in a game. The last time that Atletico gave up 4 goals in a game was a February 2022 loss. It had been over 2 years, not over 2 years, but closing in on 2 years since they've given up 4 goals in a game. One was to Barcelona. Last time was to Barcelona.
Yeah.
This time was the Girona.
Yeah.
Girona. Right. Corona. Right. I don't know what they're called, but it's awesome.
I will learn when they we'll learn. We'll get it right. I'm just saying, like, this is it's a great story. And I think as much as, you know, I would be surprised. I mean, they're technically not leading. They're tied for the lead. But on goal differential, they would actually lose the league if it ended today. So they're second.
Can I read
right
you
now
the Real Madrid roster and then read you the Girona roster?
Yeah, go ahead.
OK. Goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois injured, out for the year.
Yes, that's right. Yes, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Not playing for Real. Real. Right. You have Kepa Arrizabalaga.
Yes, they had to go get him in an emergency situation, I think, in the summer.
I'm not going to read the rest of your goalies, but there you go. Sure. David Alaba for Real Madrid, defender. Nacho Fernandez, Antonio Rudiger, Danny Carvajal, Lucas Vasquez, Ferland Mendy, Francisco Guerrero, Eder Militao, Vinicius Tobias. Your midfielders, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, Danny Ceballos, who I had no clue was playing for Real Madrid.
Yes, they have all these guys that you're like, wait, he's there?
Federico Valverde, very good.
Just
Brian
hanging on
Diaz,
the bench, some of these guys.
Just not getting a chance to play. Aurelio Tchouaméni, Eduardo Camavinga, Jude Bellingham, Arda Güler, who's a 19-year-old sensation from Turkey.
Oh, yeah, he's yeah, that's
Nico
right.
Paz, and then their strikers, Joselu, who's a Spanish fella, Vinicius, as we know, who is Vinny, and then Rodrigo.
Yeah.
That's Real Madrid's roster, okay? Like, at every single level, it's unbelievable. Like, superstars all over the place. How many guys have you heard of from Girona? Their goalies. Juan Carlos, heard of him?
Right.
Paulo Gazzaniga, no. Never heard of him.
Right, yeah.
Tony Fudias, never heard of him. Daily Blind, defender.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. We know Daily Blind.
We
yep,
know Daily
that's
Blind.
That's a guy, we've heard of him.
Juan Pay, David Lopez, Christian Porto, Eric Garcia, Miguel Gutierrez, Jan Cueto, Arnau Martinez, Eric Manginel, Antal Yakbishvili.
Sure.
Never heard of those guys.
No.
Borja Garcia, Alex Garcia, Yanhel Herrera, Ivan Martinez, Ibrahim Kebe, Pablo Torre, the guy from ESPN.
ESPN Pablo Torre.
John Solis, and then their strikers, Christian Stuani, Victor Stinakov.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Vila, Artem Dobvik, Valerie Fernandez, Savio, and Justine Garcia.
Yeah. Savio's a player. Like, he's good. Yeah. No, he is.
But I know he is.
But, like, I mean, but they, yeah, you're right. Like, most of these guys you're hearing of for the first time. And this is because they've got a manager. And this is the reality. It will not surprise me. Barcelona has Xavi is there, right, as their manager. And they won the league last year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Barcelona did. But this year, they're sitting in fourth. You know, borderline missing Champions League. Now, plenty of season left. I'm sure they will not have that happen. And Xavi's a club legend, right? But there's a chance that if he doesn't get the job done and they have to move on from him, you know who they're calling. They're calling Michel, the manager of Girona, and saying,
of course,
you're up here now. And they'd get him, right? And I mean, Ancelotti just signed his deal, but if Real Madrid suddenly was like, you know what, never mind. We don't want to do that. We want this guy. Like, he will probably not be managing Girona past this year, I would think. They will probably try to keep him.
So he will go somewhere.
But yeah, I'm saying, like, but this is a ridiculous managerial job by Michel. So don't lose sight of this guy. If you're not familiar with him, he just took the job a couple years ago there. Previous to that, I want to say he was managing, like, another Spanish club, but it was a club he played for. And, I mean, fine, but, like, This is kind of a meteoric rise for this team. So I'm saying Girona second half of the season, we're watching, right? You're tuning into a Girona game if you can find
it. Of course.
All of them, I think, are on ESPN Plus. That's where all these La Liga games are.
I'm just looking at the total value according to Transfermarkt of, like, the players on their clubs.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid's total value of players on Transfermarkt, which, you know, it tells you, like, what their market value would be if a team were to pay their transfer fee.
In theory.
In theory. Real Madrid's is $1.04 billion in their transfer fees. They have 19 national team players.
Oh, my God.
On their roster. God. Girona's.
Your 18 is all national team guys, and then you've got a guy who's not making the 18 who plays for his national team.
Girona, 6 national team players, actually squad value of $220 million.
Oh, now? Yeah. But that's guess when all that value got accrued in the last 6 months.
Right.
Like, it just, they went from probably a fifth of that to now they're worth $250 million or whatever. Sure.
This past offseason, it was 82.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, it's there's, I'm sure that's what it was. Like, it, this is a great story. So, Girona, you know what?
Are you ditching your Modric guy then? I mean, you're a Modric and Vinny lover.
Listen, I have actually been over the Christmas break. The other thing I did was I watched, I'm not all the way through it yet, but the Amazon Real Madrid documentary that they did. I have been watching that because I've decided this year to kind of try to pick up Spanish. I took it for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching it in Spanish with the subtitles on so I could like hear the Spanish and try to like piece it together and just wake my brain back up a little bit. But it's been really fun learning about the history of that club and just, I mean, obviously go figure. It's a documentary about Real Madrid and they're all like, no one has the passion of Real Madrid. You're like, I get it. Like they're all selling it. We got it. Yeah. It can be nauseating, but I truly enjoyed watching it, and I would consider myself a Real Madrid fan.
Was Liam Schreiber doing the narration on it?
I don't know because I'm listening to the guys just talking. There's no narrator. I'm just listening to it's all their voices. It's all the managers and players and journalists who cover the team. It's just one of those where they're just all talking. There's not a lot of narration to it. But, yeah, I would consider myself a Real Madrid fan. Yeah. Like, that's the team I am rooting for.
You like them.
I would like to see them win
it's
Champions
League.
It's
like me with Bayern Munich. I like Bayern Munich.
I like them. I'm not going to watch every game, but I like them. I try if I'm going to sit down and watch Spanish soccer, I'm going to try to watch them. But I'm adding Girona into the mix, and I'm conflicted because I obviously would love to see Girona have this wonderful story. It wouldn't bother me at all, even though I'm saying I'm rooting for Real Madrid. I hope Real Madrid wins Champions League and Girona wins La Liga. That'd be great.
It's a likely outcome.
That'd be awesome if it happens. I'd take it. That'd be awesome. It's a great story. Here's a story that I'm kind of surprised to see it come to this point, but this is where we are. Zach Steffen is back in MLS. He is signing with Colorado, going to go play for the Rapids in a deal that, I mean, I'm sure it's not the smallest deal in the world, but it's probably not nearly what it would have taken to get him back here a few years ago. This is after he left Columbus to go sign with Manchester City. At the time, we all said, God bless, Godspeed, hope it works out. Mm-hmm. Going to be tough to get first team minutes at Manchester City, and he never really did. He got loaned out.
It was tough.
Yeah. So he had 12 first-team appearances for City after arriving in 2020, the last of which came in a 3-2 defeat to Liverpool in the FA Cup semifinal in April of 2022, where he was pretty much the guy who was at fault for Sadio Mane's goal in that spot. So not great for him, but I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for him to be back in MLS, but it's going to suck when the Crew have to go up against a guy who was so good for them and that we all have a lot of affinity for here. So, but yeah, Zach Steffen, great dude. And
awesome dude. Been on the podcast before, Zach.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We had him on and I wish him well. I hope it goes well for him in Colorado other than when he plays the Crew.
Yeah, I do too. I've got nothing but good things to say about him. It's unfortunate it didn't work out over in England, right?
Yeah.
You go over there and you chase your dream. And sometimes the reality of the dream becomes that was a little much for me.
Sure.
And I think that
I don't blame him for taking the opportunity,
though.
I mean, like, he got signed by Manchester City. And, you know, it's interesting because there were a lot of conspiracy theories when that happened that, oh, they're just going to loan him back to City FC. That never happened. He never went to New York City, which I'm glad that didn't happen because that would kind of suck if that's just the way MLS was going to work now was you could just have Manchester City buy the good players and then give them back to New York City. That would really be terrible. But fortunately, that didn't happen. So
interesting to note, he's not going to be a designated player either.
That's what
Colorado.
I'm saying. It's not the type of deal that I would have thought it would have taken to get him back here even a couple years ago.
Good bit of business by the Crew then.
Yeah, really. Well, you know what? I'll say this. There was a good bit of business by the Crew in that regard, and the Crew are known for doing that.
Yep.
I saw some good bit of business from the folks down in Chili Land, a.k.a. Kentucky FC. FC Cincinnati made a deal where they got rid of Brandon Vasquez.
Yep.
So Brandon Vasquez, apparently they have made a transfer of him. They sold him to Liga MX Monterrey, not a small club.
No.
For those who don't follow Mexican soccer, they're one of the big boy clubs. They have signed him after agreeing to a $7.5 million transfer fee with a $1 million potential add-on. So could be a deal worth up to $8.5 million for FC Cincinnati.
It's a nice deal for them.
Yeah, and a guy that, again, they brought him in for like $150,000 in Garber bucks, not even real money, just
Damn.
the the Tam or Gam or whichever one they were using.
Tam or Garber Bucks.
Yeah. So they flipped that now because he was with Atlanta United at first, and then they got him from Atlanta United for, like I said, $150,000. And then it's now they're making $8 million off this guy. Like, that's
good business.
Now, that's a lot of – now, here's the downside for them on this. Brandon Vasquez was one of your best goal scorers this year, kind of had a nice breakout year the last couple seasons. He's been really good for them. They won a lot of games this year, 1-0, and they have not – they are going to have to add someone, you would think, presumably, to replace that firepower.
Well, they got a defender. Maybe they can win 0-0.
They did. They've got, U.S. national teamer, Miles Robinson, which...
Also a good bit of business for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're like... Now, I don't know if him and Miazga, if Miazga stays... Yeah. I mean, Miazga was defender of the year, so I assume they're not getting rid of him. But, I mean, you
not
put him...
Not on the cheap, if they are.
No, no. I'm saying, like, maybe this foretells that they're going to, you know, look at possibly transferring him. But Miles Robinson was also getting looked at by PSV Eindhoven. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, this is the type of thing that I feel like non-MLS fans... People who haven't paid attention in the last 5 years wouldn't know this, but that would have shocked me years ago to hear a promising young U.S. national teamer is getting interest from European, like PSV Eindhoven is in Champions League quite often. They are one of those clubs that I think is in that same realm as Dortmund.
I just told you, they play each other in the Champions League round of 16 this year.
That's right. But I'm saying Eindhoven, Ajax, and Dortmund, they're the teams that, there's others, but those are three that I think you often hear where you're like, hey, who's this great player from Barcelona,
Monaco,
or Madrid,
or one of those teams?
Well, but when you see like a big boy club and you're like, who's this great young kid? It's like, oh yeah, they bought him from PSV Eindhoven. They bought him from where they go to get their guys. Like, now he's not that dude. He's 25, I think Miles Robinson is, or somewhere in the 26. So they would have been bringing him in as like a veteran to come in and shore up while they have all the young kids around him that, you know, they often sell off. But yeah. Cincinnati beat them to the punch. Now, Cincinnati's thrown around a lot of dumb money over the years. They just made $7.5 million, you know, getting rid of Brandon Vasquez. So maybe this is how they're making stuff like this work. But I don't think Miles Robinson, if he can stay healthy, I mean, that's a good pickup for them.
It's great. It's a good pickup.
They're going to have a lot of boring-ass games, though.
Yeah, they are. There's going to be a lot of reliance on Luciano Acosta this year.
Oh, that's good. He's not old and busted up.
I'm just... telling you what.
He had a good year. He had a good year. How'd it look when you need him in crunch time?
Was unwilling to sub himself off
legs,
the field.
Those legs were not fresh.
Bone, he didn't move.
No, I'm saying, dude, he you can build your team around like great, talented little dudes who are like explosive and awesome and smart and make all these great plays. That's great.
Like Miami's doing.
Can they hold up for 34 games plus League's Cup plus your Open Cup? I don't know if we're doing that
plus
this year.
Champions Cup.
Plus Champions Cup, which they're in, and then plus everything. Like, teams like Columbus and Cincinnati are going to play upwards of 50 games.
Not including the international schedules that these guys will play
right
in the lead up to.
Yeah. Now,
their Nations Cups that are going on.
You've got, between Copa America, the European Championship, obviously, and then all the other Africa, Africa Cup of Nations is coming. That's actually coming up right.
Yeah.
In the next few weeks. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of miles on a lot of legs on a lot of these better teams in MLS. So,
and then by the time that you get through the summer contest, guess what happens? Cup qualifying.
Right.
And there are more teams
World Cup qualifying,
that now qualify for the World Cup.
World Cup qualifying, and like the biggest games of MLS's season come in the cold in October, November, where you need these guys to be healthy and run for possibly 120 minutes. And if you're relying on dudes that are, you know, Lucha Acosta is fantastic, but you saw how he broke down towards the end of the season there. Maybe Lionel Messi won't have any problems with that. Or maybe they will. I'm just
crew schedule release. Get your tickets now. Messi here on a Wednesday in October.
Yeah. Chance. What are the odds he plays in that game?
I don't know.
My odds on him playing in that game are like
32%.
I was going to say 5-1. I was going to say
5-1%.
I gave it a 20%, 5-1. So you're at 32%, 3-1. I'm at 5-1. All right. Anything else you want to get to before we shut this down?
No, not really.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with hopefully Kylian Mbappe to Real Madrid news.
Or here's my one more thing
yeah.
before we get out.
Yeah.
Here's a great long con. Real Madrid get turned off by the Kylian Mbappe situation. They don't go for him. Who's the other possibly better striker than him in the world right now?
Erling Haaland.
They go for Erling Haaland.
Ooh.
Kylian Mbappe gets so mad at Real Madrid, spurns them, doesn't join Barcelona as he would as a rival, but instead says, I'm going to join Manchester United. So Erling Haaland leaves City.
I like
Kylian
it.
Kylian Mbappe joins United. That's a fantasy land.
I like. You know what? It's not going to happen, but that's a fun thing for you.
It's a fun thing for me to think of while my team is toiling around in the middle of the table. It's a fun fantasy. Hope you have fun in Champions League next year, Bone.
I'm excited. I'm excited to watch the villains getting it done. Which, by the way, I tweeted something about the villains. Then people were like, you spelled it wrong. And I'm like, I didn't. I spelled it V-I-L-L-A-N-S. And then Twitter was like, you want this to say villains. And it's like, no.
Thanks, Elon.
Yeah, I blame him. It's only him. Not my phone or anything else. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.